Peace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Barabbas in our reading tonight is from a longer version, especially in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, but also in a very short version in the 18th chapter of John, which we hear again. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas might seem to be just another bizarre incident, which in terms of human justice is a sham with stupidity heaped upon stupidity. And perhaps as we hear the reading of our passion history, we pass over that part of the story with a sigh. What losers were these who preferred Barabbas, a notorious criminal, insurrectionist, robber, and murderer, over the innocent Jesus? But as a matter of fact, the matter of Barabbas offers a very high point of illumination as to the real nature of this event, which is described for us in this passion history, which goes to the very heart of our salvation. If we put it this way, perhaps it more immediately becomes clear. Jesus took the place of Barabbas. Now, we understand that it was for people like you and me that Jesus suffered and died. But then, if we see that far and no further, then we have not grasped the enormity of what our Lord has done. But as soon as Barabbas, robber, murderer, insurrectionist, and whatever else he was guilty of, becomes the representative of those in whose place Jesus stands, then we may have to re-examine our understanding of this part of the story. First, let us consider some of the things that the Bible shows us about our Lord's act as a substitute, as a scapegoat. The Savior is pictured, the Messiah is pictured already in the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, in the establishment of the Day of Atonement as a scapegoat, on whom the sins of the people are heaped and then sent out into the wilderness to wander and to die. Hundreds of years after that, Isaiah wrote in his prophecy of the suffering servant in that well-known 53rd chapter of Isaiah, The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, which certainly points back to that scapegoat in Leviticus. And that theme is repeated over and over and over again also in the New Testament. St. Paul wrote, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And perhaps most alarming of all, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made him to be sin. Now, what that means, we also see in the account in the Gospel of Jesus' baptism. Remember that Jesus came to John, his cousin, to be baptized. John, we are told in the Gospel of Mark, came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. In other words, to submit to the baptism of John the Baptizer was to acknowledge one's sinfulness. And so Jesus comes to John, who has said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus says, "John, baptize me." John knows better. He who is baptizing for the forgiveness of sin says, "No, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus says, "No, for this is the way we, Jesus, the Son of God, must fulfill all righteousness." And so John baptizes Jesus. Now, Martin Luther, in a sermon on the baptism of Jesus, says here, shockingly perhaps, "At this point, Jesus becomes the worst sinner of all time. So completely did he step into the place of all men. By his baptism, by submitting to this baptism of John, Jesus has made it clear that he does, in fact, in full reality, bear the sins of all men. As God imputes or credits Christ's righteousness to me, so he has imputed or credited my unrighteousness to him." And this is called the vicarious atonement, the substitutionary atonement. Jesus is my substitute. This is his work for reconciliation between man and God. In my place, he carries all sin, mine and yours, to the cross. He suffers for my enmity against God. But of course, I might want to think that that's not such a terrible load to carry. I'm not a murderer, a traitor, an insurrectionist, a denier of my Lord, a robber, a rapist, or any such thing. But of course, St. Paul starts to chip away at my self-righteousness when he includes me in this: "For when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. But still I may not be so bad as I think of myself." But now comes Barabbas. Barabbas, the notorious criminal, murderer, insurrectionist, robber, one who might very well have been one of those who was crucified with Jesus. But he was freed from that. And now Pilate is about to play a really shrewd trick on the Jews. "Okay, it's your custom at the Passover feast." A custom, of course, not commanded by God, but a custom to release a prisoner. And the most notorious prisoner is Barabbas. So he comes to mind. So Pilate offers, "Do you want to have Barabbas released or Jesus?" A slam dunk, he thought. It would have to be Jesus because he's not a real criminal. They're just jealous of him. But those who make such offers usually are fooled. And so Pilate was. "We would have Barabbas," says the crowd. So Barabbas is freed, and Jesus takes his place in the cell for those who are intended to face the cross. Now, if you have not thought about it before, now you must. The one who comes to represent those who are the objects of Christ's suffering and death is not the upstanding average citizen. Barabbas, the notorious criminal, he is the one who represents what I am. And this is what our Lord's vicarious substitutionary atonement signifies. He steps into the place of the worst sinner, me, pictured in Barabbas. And so St. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that chief doesn't mean the CEO, but it means the worst. By his stripes, by his suffering, by his hanging, by his death, we are healed. I am Barabbas the traitor. I am Judas the betrayer. I am Peter the denier. I am in the crowd which demands freedom for Barabbas and crucifixion for Jesus, and among those who keep silence only for their own protection. I am Adam and Eve, who began it, and yet in whose sin I am a participant. And he is in my place. He suffers my whipping, my hanging, my bleeding, my dying, and my hell. We hear the crowd, the voice of the crowd in defiance. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Like Caiaphas, who unwittingly spoke the truth when he said, "It is expedient that one man die for the people," the crowd unwittingly also spoke the truth. Let his blood be on us and our children, not to be taken as permission for persecution of Jewish people, but as the kind of truth which comes from the mouth even of a donkey. His blood is upon us and our children. It's that blood that washes away all sin, also for the sin of those who called for his death. And it is a great flood, that blood is, so that God no longer charges our sins against us. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Believe that promise, which is made to you by your Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.